Good morning, Edgewater. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Let's sing Wait on the Lord. Please stand and join us as we praise the Lord this morning. Sweet. All right, Mike's going to lead us on this next song.
Get your slip-ons a little looser.
Side. waving her fire. 10,000 horses couldn't pull me away. I hear the music heaven has made. Oh, and we're standing, standing face to face.
I think that's what God wants us to do right now in this moment, just maybe face one another and just greet one another and say hello, face to face.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship at Edgewater. Hope you are all doing well today, and We were down a few of our setup people today, so since we didn't have Huey's height, we decided not to do the curtains, because he's the only one that can do it without having to stand on a chair to put all our curtains up. So that's why it looks a little bit different here this morning. But welcome to you all as we gather together to worship the Lord. If anyone needs a bulletin, I have a few up here. And so if you need a bulletin, you can raise your hand, and we have We have Olivia's bulletin service, and she would be happy to bring you one so that she can use her rollerblades. Rebecca needs one over there. If anyone else wants it from the bulletin delivery service. Man, that sounds like, I think, ooh, wow, those are pretty cool. That might be a service we need to incorporate every Sunday. That sounds kind of fun. What? Oh, yeah. Or like if you put me on those, I'd be on the floor in a second. So welcome to you all. You can open up and you can take a look at some of the things that are upcoming on the schedule. If you are free on Tuesday, which is, believe it or not, October 1st already, we start a new month in a couple of days, there's a men's breakfast gathering at 10 a.m. at Sylvia's Kitchen in Antioch, and the nice thing about Sylvia's is they have air conditioning, so even on a hot day, because Tuesday is scheduled to be pretty hot, so you're invited to that. We have our kids zone, and they'll be getting ready in just a couple of moments. We have a group of women that will be going to our women's retreat, so you can be in prayer for them and for all of the speakers and other conference folks that are preparing for that next weekend. And so we'll look forward to hearing how that all goes and what the Lord is able to do with his mighty women. I don't even remember how many churches are going to participate, but there's a lot of churches. I know when the men's retreat happened back in the spring, we had, I don't know, it was like 70-some churches sent at least somebody. So we'll look forward to hearing how that all goes for our ladies as well. You also have connection cards, which is a great way to stay connected to the church. If you have any updates, if you have any updates to your contact information, it's helpful for us to know how to contact you, as well as know how to pray for you and support you in whatever you are going through in your life. So it's a good thing. I want to invite our kids today for Kids Zone. We have Miss Angela and Miss Elena, who are going to be with our kids today. So you can head on back. Next Sunday, since we have a whole bunch of people that are going to be not here, we're not going to do a separate Kids Zone, so we'll have our kids in the service for next Sunday, if our kids are here. I know there's a lot of people that are traveling as well. So they're being helped with the rollerblades. All right. We want to take some time this morning and offer up a prayer to the Lord, and there's always lots of things to be praying for. You can continue to be praying for Cindy as she's recovering, and she told me a little bit earlier this week that getting your knee done, getting the second one done 15 years after the first one, the recovery is a little bit different for this one, so you can keep on praying for her, and she's learning what her new normal is going to be, and that's always hard because we want to improve, we want to heal, we want to recover quicker than sometimes we're able to. So you can be praying for her as she continues to strengthen her knee. She wanted to come today, but Mike said, no, you have to keep on resting. So we'll keep her in prayer. Anyone else have any praise reports or prayer requests that you'd like to let our church know? Rebecca? The other Pittsburgh, yeah.
I felt well, and I imagine my research presentation went well, and a lot of great connections come out of that. So, really
great. Praise the Lord. It's always good to be able to make connections and to do good work, yeah. Stacy.
So, the family I brought up last week, she passed away this week. So, it's just been a really rough year for the family, and so we could pray for Andrew and Justin as they start their new normal without their parents this year.
We'll keep them in prayer as well. You can also be praying for the Bowies. Mark let me know that one of his former bandmates who passed away last month, he's at the Celebration of Life this weekend. So it's a good thing, but it's also, those are hard moments as well, especially when you lose a longtime friend. Anybody else? Yeah.
Last night, I had the opportunity to perform for a youth live concert over at Cornerstone with his presence, worship center. And the Lord moved powerfully last night. We praised the Lord, and at the very end, there was an opportunity for people to give things up to the Lord. And saw young and old people having their lives changed last night.
Cool. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's always amazing when you see tangibly the Lord moving in the lives of people. Cool. Thanks for sharing.
It's just appreciation of just being able to sing. Because
welcome back. Know you're sick for a while.
When you go through a food poisoning thing, and your body has to go through that, and you realize how much you appreciate the things that you are able to do. And when you're not able to do it, it's just like, when am I going to get over it?
You miss it.
So being able to go to Singing Messengers and have the response from people, in that venue, it was like, it was healing for me.
Cool. Well, we're glad that you're feeling better, too.
And speaking of you.
Your wife.
She tries to do too much. She wants to already be back up and running full speed. And so she's doing too much. She keeps getting fevers.
Okay.
She had one last night. It's gone now, but just the recovery is slow. And I keep telling her, you've done leaps and bounds already. Relax. Don't try to do too much. She says, I got cabin fever. Get out. Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah. Thanks. We'll keep on praying for her. Last call? Not that kind of last call. Last call for prayer. All right, let's take some time and offer a prayer to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, to be able to wake up with some coolness, even though we know that there's some heat coming. We pray for those that will have to be outside, either working or however the Lord moves and speaks. We pray specifically for those people who are unhoused and that they will be able to deal with the heat. And then as we enter into this fall season, we're aware of we love how the rain nurtures the ground, the plants, but we also know that it creates hardships. We do pray for those, especially in the southeast, who are dealing with terrible flooding from the hurricane. And we pray for your hand of safety and protection for those. We pray for your hand of comfort upon those who have lost loved ones, even lost property and pets and all those other things that happen in those gigantic storms. It's very humbling to realize how small we are in the face of this awesome power that is in your world. And yet, Lord, we know that you are in control of everything. And so we give you all praise today. We thank you for the ways that you showed up. Thank you for the report from Josiah about how you moved powerfully in people just last night, turning lives and hearts to respond to you. God, thank you. May that inspire each of us in our walk of faith, in our journey with you, O Lord. God, I thank you for this church family and the ways that you continue to work in and through us, binding us together, helping us to grow and be transformed by the power of your Spirit. It's always exciting to see those aha moments. God, I pray for aha moments in us this week. God, will your will be done in us? May you open our eyes to see people around us, people who are in need of a helping hand or a healing word, those who need a sign of hope. God, may we be that blessing to someone this week. God, we commit our lives to you. Will you continue to heal us in all of the ways that we need, body, soul, mind, and spirit? God, you are with us all the time. And so I pray for a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon us, that we may continue to offer you all of our worship and direct it solely to you. For God, you are good, and you are great, and you are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 37:4 tells us to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's an imperative that he's given us. I want to encourage you to stand. Sing this song.
Ask that you bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord. Help it to have some application in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. As we were singing that song, I actually was thinking about Cindy in that moment. That's almost like an anthem. And the reality is that none of us really like to wait that much, especially we want things to happen fast, whether it's healing or action. We want results, we want resolution, and we're not so good at waiting for certain things.
Amen.
If you have a Bible, we're going to be looking at some verses from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, the last called one of the minor prophets, but certainly the last book, but not the least book in the Bible. I was thinking about how many times through the years people have made predictions, and they have just fallen flat. They just have not come to pass in so many ways. And I looked up a couple of the more famous ones, and there was a prediction in 1524, and it predicted that there was going to be a second great flood because all of the planets happened to be aligned in a certain way with a certain constellation, Pisces, and then that didn't come to pass, even though it sprinkled a little bit on that day, but there was no major flood. There was actually a German nobleman who was so convinced that there was going to be a flood that day that he built a mini ark that was like 3 stories tall, and that fell flat. It didn't work out at all. In 1806, there was actually a prophetic hen in England. Somebody claimed that there was a hen that when it would pop out eggs, these eggs kept having this message that said, "Christ is coming." And people actually flocked, no pun intended, to this hen because they wanted to get one of its eggs, until it was revealed that it was actually the farmer who was writing on the eggs and then actually putting them back up the hen. And we don't need to go any further with that story. A little over 100 years ago, in 1910, there was a belief that the world was going to end because Halley's Comet was going to come so close to the Earth that it was going to destroy all life on the planet. In fact, there were so many headlines. People were literally panicking. And the reality is that the Earth actually did pass through the tail of the comet, but nothing happened. And so all of those predictions of doom and gloom never came to pass. In fact, I found this really interesting. Somebody took advantage of it, and they started selling something called Hope's Anti-Comet Pills, an elixir for escaping the world of the something. I can't read the last word. Yeah, so there it's interesting because there's always someone that wants to take advantage of those types of situations. And also, one of the great predictions that didn't come to pass was the 2012 Mayan calendar doomsday scenario, which predicted that the world was going to come to an end in 2012. And when that didn't come to pass, they actually said, oh no, we made a mistake with the math. It's actually 2020. So they were partially right. We all know how that turned out. A lot of these predictions, these things that people dream up, they're meant to get you excited or scared, maybe buy something. People have sold all of their life savings, you know, sold everything for some of these different predictions. And a lot of them get lots of attention. Like the Mayan calendar, I remember there was a bus that went by my house back in 2012, and there was a big doom and gloom like on the side of the bus. Someone had paid for like a repent now, the world is coming to an end because of the 2012 calendar. Most of these end up falling short on the expected promise. Thankfully, in Malachi 3, there is one prediction slash promise that totally delivered. It was a prophetic word that told God's people what would happen, and it was a call for them to return to the Lord. And instead of the end of the world, it was a prophetic word that also offered a word of hope with the promise of the Lord's mercy. And we know that with the coming of Jesus Christ, these words did come to pass, and they are coming to pass. I want to set the stage for this particular section of Scripture in Malachi. When Malachi was recorded, or when the word of the Lord came to this prophet, God's people had returned from exile in Babylon. They had rebuilt the walls and the temple in Jerusalem. We read about some of those stories in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah and several other places. And the people had really good intentions. Yet they made one big mistake. They actually mistook the restored spiritual glory, which is what the Lord was focusing on, and they thought that that meant material glory and prosperity, material splendor. And so they embarked on some of these projects with good intentions, but part of it was a we've always done it this way mentality. If we just restore things to the way things were, then all these things shall be ours. And when that didn't happen, a spiritual complacency set in for the people. It was a kind of religious life that actually one author calls floppy and unenthusiastic worship. They believed that God's promises meant economic prosperity and national supremacy over their enemies after captivity. And you can understand why people would feel that way to some degree. But the lived experience of God's people, at least most of them at this time, was more poverty than prosperity. And when they were living like that and things weren't improving in the ways that they expected, they became more cynical towards God. Powerful empires still controlled the region, keeping many of the Israelites under their thumb. This led them to distrust God, and it actually caused sin to take root in their hearts, and it became like a anything goes sort of life. Today we might call that cultural religion. They didn't really have a heartfelt faith. It was more about ritual and a sense of duty than heartfelt commitment and devotion to the Lord. We see that play out in our day as well. So Malachi, as the last but not least Old Testament prophet, brings the word of the Lord to the people, a word of both judgment and promise. And I would draw your attention to verse 17 in chapter 2. This verse lays out God's word in stark terms of why he chose to speak at this time. The people had wearied God. Some Bibles use the word provoked God. Their very actions or their lackadaisical attitude wearied the Lord with your words. And the people said, how have we wearied him? Like, oh, not us, O Lord. We still love you. And God responds by saying, you have wearied him by saying that all who do evil are good in the Lord's sight, and he is pleased with them. You have wearied him by asking, where is the God of justice? See, they thought that God was absent because he wasn't answering the things that they wanted. He wasn't giving them the things that they thought they deserved by being back in the land. See, we rebuilt your walls, we rebuilt your temple. Why isn't all this other stuff coming to us now? And they wearied God. The very next verse is a verse that has long breathed hope into Christians of every age. The promise of what is to come, even if we don't have it right now. And not just what is to come, the one who is to come. And we know that that one is Jesus. Let me read verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, look. Like, whoo, whoo, pay attention. Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I think the NIV says the Lord Almighty. Another way of saying that is the Lord of heaven's armies. So this was a word of hope. But see, the people in that day, they also were taking some of it literally. They thought it was going to happen right away. And they thought that it was literally going to be God coming back into his physical temple. They didn't really understand the spiritual application of that. We talked about that a little bit last week, that we are, as the people of God, are considered the temple of the Lord as well, the place where his spirit dwells among us. And so this was given around 430 BC, roughly. So this is a promise that would require long patience and a long time of preparation and waiting for it to come to pass. We don't like to wait 3 weeks for our knee to heal, or 6 weeks. I can't imagine having to wait generation after generation after generation. That time between Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament, the birth of Jesus, is sometimes called that quiet period. But we've looked at that in the past and discovered that it was anything but quiet. There was a lot of stuff happening in the world at that time. And what God was also doing with his people, even though they didn't always know it, was he was preparing them for that moment. And then eventually along comes this really rough guy called John the Baptist. He didn't look the part. He was kind of a wild man coming out of the desert. And then he was the one who was going to announce that there was one greater than him coming, Jesus. And he called people to repent and to turn back to God and await for that moment. Preparation is not always fun. We know this. But God's preparation is often necessary. When we turn or return to God, there is a process we all go through in order to get where God truly wants us to be. And for Malachi, when he delivers this word to the people, he does so by using two primary images, fire and soap. Fire and soap. Let me read verses 2 and 3 for us. It says, but who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross or the impurities. He will purify the Levites. That was the priestly class, refining them like gold and silver so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. See, many of the priests had been corrupted as well. I'll stop there. Malachi uses these images, and they would have made a lot of sense to people of that day, refining and purifying and cleansing. And even in the church today, we sing songs with different phrases. I think of a song like with the worship chorus, "Purify My Heart." And we sing it like it's a good thing. But we fail to recognize that "Purify My Heart" can be a very painful thing, something that we actually don't enjoy, like putting your hand on the oven. It's not a pleasant experience, or your hand on the stove. The reality is that refining is intense, yet it's not without purpose. The intense heat of refining causes impurities to separate out of metal. Sometimes they rise to the surface so that they can be skimmed off like cream or burned away. A refiner's fire is not sitting at a campfire casually roasting a marshmallow like we did at camp a couple weeks ago. No, this is a forced air, white hot blast oven. Yet without refining, many metals remain weak and brittle, not very useful to work with. Some of you I know work with metal, or you do a lot of welding. We even have industries in our town that utilize a lot of metal. Rebecca just came back from the other Pittsburgh, which is famous for its steel refineries as well. Refining iron actually removes impurities, and it lowers the percent of carbon in it, and it makes it actually stronger. Steel from iron is what allows us to build big bridges and tall buildings. It allows us to have very strong wires and cables and beams. And without refining, the raw material could never achieve the amazing potential within it. Similar atoms making it up, but with a little intense heat, it turns into something new. Something new is made. So that's that first image, the refining that God is doing. If you've ever seen it's pretty hot. If you've ever worked close to a refinery, it's not always the most pleasant experience. I saw a little video this week of there was a spill in a refinery where they were pouring this molten metal into a big, like, it looked like a giant, you know, like when you grind something with a mortar and pestle. It looked like a giant one of those, except it tipped over and it spread this boiling hot metal all over the floor, and it just burned up everything. A crucible, yes, thank you. That's what I was thinking. It's not always a pleasant experience. So Malachi tempers this with a second image of soap. But not the kind of soap that we might think of, not the bubbly, nice-smelling soap like at a spa. No, we're talking about dry cleaning chemicals or strong bleach kind of soap. If you have grown up with the King James Version, the King James translation of the Bible uses the phrase fuller's soap. And I had to look this up because I wasn't sure what a fuller was. A fuller was someone who worked with newly woven cloth, usually wool, and they would use a strong cleaner, like a lye-based cleaner or a strong bleach, or back in the old days of like Rome, they would even use urine because it had ammonia compounds in it. And then they would pound the fibers until trying to p- break it free, break all the grime and the oil and the other impurities that were in this cloth. And what this did is it actually strengthened it, making it more resistant to water, and it also made it able to dye different colors into the fabric. So when Malachi uses the image of soap, that's why I chose the New Living Translation, like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. This is described as part of what the Lord is like. This is not meant to make you smell better. It's meant to do a deep cleaning within. This is at least part of understanding the idea of what's going on when it says that God purifies us, removing anything that prevents something from fulfilling its designed purpose. This is what the Lord is like, Malachi says. And at some level, we understand this. We understand the need to be clean, to be cleaned, to be forgiven, to be refined, to have our sharp edges worn down or washed away, smoothed out, so that we are the people that God knows we can be. Yet our ability to worship and love and reflect the light of Christ in the world becomes inhibited by all of our dirt, our impurities, our sin. Being refined and made clean is something that is necessary so that we can live and grow as God intends for us to be a blessing in this world. See, when Malachi spoke these words, the people didn't get it. At least many of the people didn't get it, but some did. Some understood that he was pressing them to see how God sees and to see what God sees, to look within. That it wasn't just about building new walls and a shiny new temple, but that God was forcing them or wanting them to look inward. He presses us, I think, in our day to ask similar questions. How clean am I? What needs a good scrubbing or refining in my life? Am I prepared to stand before the Lord? It's something that we have to take seriously. Cleansing and purification can be painful and unwanted, but it always is meant to prepare us to face the Lord. As the word says, who can stand on that day? And the reality is that none of us can stand. We are all sinners. We know that to be true. None can stand except those who have submitted themselves to God and allowed him to transform you by the power of his Spirit. Those are the ones who belong to the Lord, followers of Christ, considered a valuable part of the body, both capable and expected to bring the best of ourselves to the Lord. And those offerings that we bring will be sweet and pleasing to the Lord, just like it was in the beginning. Let me read verse 4 from chapter 3. It says, then once more, this is after purification and after cleansing, in our case, asking forgiveness, repenting of our sins, asking God for his forgiveness, and returning into his presence. Then once more the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as he did in the past. Now, if we refuse, like some of the people did in that day, if we refuse to submit ourselves, then the very next verse actually shares what will happen. Verse 5, at that time I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. That's a verse that could almost be said today. In fact, it is said today. It is strong. Malachi goes on to explain why God is calling them out. but also reminding them that he is calling them forward and that the Lord offers something if they turn to him. Verses 6 and 7. The word says, I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Only when we acknowledge our faults and our failures are we able to truly respond in reverence to the Lord and turn back to him. That's why repentance is necessary. We can't just say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, but then keep doing the same thing. We can't keep doing things as a status quo. It requires us to draw near and come together and recommit ourselves to God. And this is the Lord's promise at the very end of chapter 3, verse 16. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. Verse 17, they will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. The Lord responds with grace and mercy, far more than we deserve. It's amazing, and all it takes is to humbly repent and turn back to God. And so it's important, that's why I read these today, it's important to remember the words of the prophet. We learn to understand why God does his refining and cleansing work in us. We don't always like it. In fact, I would hazard a guess that often we don't like it at all. But it is necessary. We learn to submit to God's work and his ways. And we trust that this process prepares us for what is to come and who we are to become. These words were first received by a small group of faithful people 400 years before Christ. They got to see just the first little glimpses and their descendants, those signs that were pointing to the coming of Christ. And then imagine being that person who was alive when John the Baptist came and how exciting that would have been. Like, oh, maybe it's going to happen soon, that the Lord is suddenly going to arrive. But John wasn't the one. He came saying, there's one more important than me. Don't follow me. Follow the one who comes after me. John played his part, and then Jesus fulfilled every part. Friends, in the knowledge of the truth of this promise, a prophecy that totally delivered in every way, this is what I think we can say. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, which is faithful and true. Your word, when you say it, it comes to pass. Whether in the moment or at the time of your appointed choosing. God, for this time of waiting that we might find ourselves in, waiting for the fullness of your promises to come to pass. Will you help us to wait well, to wait actively, to continue to come to you, to not turn away, but to draw near to you so that you can continue to do your amazing work in us. God, if there is something in us that needs to be cleaned, will you do your work? If there is something that needs to be refined in us, will you do your work? God, help us in this, we pray. We know that you are faithful, and true, and that you want to extend your mercy and grace to us. Help us to get there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Sing about an everlasting God.
Thank you, gentlemen, for helping lead us in music this morning as we offer our worship to the Lord. And now as we prepare to go back out into the world, receive these words. They're from 2 Peter. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. To him be glory both now and forever. Go now in peace to love and serve God and one another. Amen and amen. Have a great week.